Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm not going to lie. I'm getting anxiety. She has turned the studio into an absolute mess in less than 5 minutes.
That's abnormal to you. How?
No, Sam, look at her side of the table.
Can I also have an early grievance? And I know I had one yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I love all of our advertisers on this very program. That being said, I think there are certain songs that now exist in the public domain that should not be allowed to be used in radio ads. And the reason is, oh, there it is. 4 days ago, Scott started singing this damn song.
I hate this song.
Then I get
it
here. I don't even know what the drug is for, but I think I need it.
No, it gets GA going slower.
Oh.
What is it?
Iservay gets GA going slower.
What's GA?
I don't know. Listen to the commercial.
I don't want to.
Gastrointestinal abnormalities? I mean, what is it?
So we're in here, Sam.
And like every time we go to break, the two of us look at each other and go, dun, 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 dun.
Hey, that commercial's a jam. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It is a stone cold jam, and I don't know what disorder they're there to help, but I think I have it.
I hate this song. I've hated that song since I was a kid.
Well, I didn't used to hate the song, but now, I just, once it starts,
you can't get it going lower.
I can't get it out of my head.
And that song gets stuck in my head, and then I'm walking around, and there's a TV commercial for it, too.
Oh, no. Yeah, there it is. Well, I used to like that song.
Know who the artist is on the original.
It's Santana, isn't
it?
No,
it is not. It's a three-letter word.
War.
Is it Iserve?
The artist is Gets GA Going Slower. You gotta say it just like that.
Iserve. I'm gonna look up what Iserve even is. I don't even know.
I don't need to know. I just wish
Is it common spelling?
Somehow mute that song.
It's geographic atrophy, according to the text line.
I have that. Is that where you don't know where you're going?
No.
Oh.
That would be macular degeneration of the eyes.
Age-related macular degeneration.
You said geographic atrophy. That's what I have. As I've gotten older, I don't know where I am ever. I need Iserve.
Gets GA going
when
slowly.
I'm in my car and I go, where am I?
I have no idea. Where am I?
Gosh.
You guys
I have no idea. What'd you say?
You guys are nerds. So why is the studio such a mess in there today?
She's putting together a project.
No, I am not. I got you guys for Christmas 11 by 14, I think it was, or maybe, yeah, it was 11 by 14 prints of the original patents through the U.S. Patent Office for headphones and microphones.
I hung them up in my office.
Oh, that makes me happy.
I have not yet. I'm trying to find the perfect spot.
In my space where I do some commercial work and I do some other broadcast work, I did not have room for the 11 by 14. So I went with a 5x7, which you have to then put in an 8x10 and then you frame it. You know what I'm talking about. Mm. So I had to go to the store today because the prints came and I'm like, well, I want to hang those in my little office space. And I just started kind of crafting in here before the show. And then that song came on and I'm jamming in here and I'm crafting and I'm yelling for Scott to throw me the scotch tape.
All of a sudden, pigs are flying.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess out, but it looks damn good. I like my present.
You didn't want to keep this hottie in the frame?
Can we talk about the photograph
that they put in frames
that they
at the store.
Put now in the photographic frame? And is there a specific modeling agency where you dress up like a cowboy, you look to the left like you're deep in thought, and then that is the photo that goes in the frame that you buy?
And you know this guy is not a real cowboy.
No.
He was flown in from New York City.
He's not even wearing Wranglers.
What do you mean flown in? That's a green screen.
I know.
Yeah, you're probably right.
We've talked about this. Is modeling the way models used to be paid to model clothing? Are those days over? Because I was trying to buy my person some gym pants, and when I plugged in like the color and the like the style, I ended up getting the same guy in 4,000 pairs of pants, and you could just scroll. And it took me a while to notice it, and then I was like, wait a minute, that's the same model.
Well,
it's
so
fake.
The next step in that is they're going to be putting you. You upload a photo of yourself, and they will AI you into whatever you're shopping for.
So help me here.
I don't know that that's going to work, Sam.
This picture of Cowboy Bill here.
Yeah, that's in the frame.
Right. And you've all been to Hobby Lobby or to Target or wherever, and you see you're in the frame aisle.
The fake happy couples.
Yeah, there's a couple, and they're in love, and they're staring longingly in each other's eyes. Well, this one is a guy with a white cowboy hat on, a blue plaid shirt, and dungarees or something. Chaps. You know, he's got chaps on.
Of course.
There's his blue jeans.
He's
right
a
there.
Real cowboy.
Yeah. But he's wearing a very expensive watch, and his nails are perfectly trimmed.
As most cowboys are.
And the copyright on the bottom says copyright 2020 Green Tree Gallery, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Oh, maybe he is a cowboy then.
Then it says underneath it, made in China.
Well, that would be the frame.
No, that would be this picture.
I think it's the dude. I think he actually came from China.
He doesn't look Chinese to me.
That is one heck of a flight cost for a modeling gig.
Here's why, Sam. I don't think, for me anyway, I don't think AI Dana in the clothing is going to sell more clothing. And I have a perfect example from the girls' trip we took a few years ago to Nashville.
No. What he was saying is the AI Dana would only be in the frame mm-hmm. for you.
Right? But this is why it's not going to work with clothing. As a woman, follow me here.
Okay.
We all went down to Nashville a few years ago. And there is a very famous store owned by a very famous actress who played June Carter Cash in Walk the Line, Help Me.
Oh,
Right.
Oh,
her.
God.
Got you. So she has this store.
The not going,
Reese, in Nashville, Sam, and it's the most stunning, darling. It's called Draper James. You've got to go in there.
Isn't she the same one who's selling the candles that?
No, that's Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
So we go into the store. You got to go to Draper James. They've got baby stuff. They've got home goods. And they've got clothing that only looks good on Reese Witherspoon. You can buy a handbag for like $450.
Okay.
Look up Draper James, Scott. It is
Draper James?
Foofy, high-end, boutique type of store. So on the website for Draper James, it is Reese Witherspoon in this cute little jean dress. And she's got a whisk. And she's got her designer bowl and her designer outfits. We all go in there to shop. I try on that denim dress. Ladies, let me just stop you now. For $250, you will not look like Reese Witherspoon in that dress. We all just died laughing. I came out. I looked terrible. I looked like a beach whale wrapped in denim. So okay. We're all laughing because when you see the dress on Reese Witherspoon, oh my gosh, it looks amazing. And if you're shopping online, you think, I'm going to look just like that when I put on this dress for $250.
It's her company.
Oh, it's stunning. Look at the photos. When you actually go into Draper James and try it on,
right.
You do not look anything like Reese Witherspoon in that dress, which is why I'm saying, like, you can put my face on some AI. With clothing, I don't trust it, but it always looks better on the model, doesn't it?
That's exactly why it's going to sell more clothing. Because the AI model of the website that's going to put your face on that fake AI body, it's not going to pull your body dimensions.
Oh, it's
going to
be Reese Witherspoon's body with my head on it? I ain't buying what you're selling.
And that's exactly what it's going to be.
Because I know what I look like when I put that dress on. We all just died laughing. We were like, oh man, is she airbrushed? Because this does not translate in real life.
Okay.
So you're going to buy that dress. You're going to buy that jacket because it makes you look slim and fierce.
And of course she looks slim and fierce. She is slim and fierce, right?
Yeah.
Who are the new fashion stars in America from Forbes magazine? They are models created by generative AI. And companies like Levi's are harnessing this technology, rewriting the fabric of the fashion industry as we know it, and opening a world of infinite aesthetic possibility. Which basically means if you're a model, I think you're out of work. I really do. AI models can be customized to display various body types, ages, sizes, and skin tones, offering a diverse range of looks for the fashion items they model.
Why wouldn't they use your body type, though, so that you know what you really look like in that clothing?
Because to Dana's point, they wouldn't sell
it.
Then
you wouldn't buy it. Okay.
So if they make you look like a supermodel with your face on that supermodel's body, you are more apt to click the buy now button. And then when you get home, you're like, what the heck? I didn't look like the model looked on the website.
I'm not making fun of anybody, and I'm being serious. What if you weigh two bills? You're a woman, you weigh two bills, and you go, you know, so your face is going to be a little bit larger.
Okay.
And you put your larger double-chinned face on the body of Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
You don't really think to yourself, wow, I'm going to look like that.
In my experience, there was not a lot to offer in that boutique for a curvy woman, okay. Of which I consider myself. Like, I'm, you know, 5'2", and I am not stick thin, so I never have been.
You're not, I don't think you're overweight.
No, but, like, when you look at very crafted, detailed, custom clothing like that, it looks amazing on a body type like Reese Witherspoon.
She's probably 5'10 and
100 pounds.
115 pounds.
I don't even know that she's, I mean, she is just tiny, tiny, tiny.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't work for me either. I fall into the oddly shaped category, and I can't buy run-of-the-mill straight-cut pants because they just don't fit.
Well, they would be high waters on you.
Well, they would be high waters, and they would be very tight in certain areas and look like they were parachute pants.
Do you know what you need to fix that? I survey.
Get your body slimmer.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
All right, Sammy, let's get a price update on the tickets for Sunday, 5:30, Chiefs v. Bills.
Well, as they always do, they are wicked high the Monday after we secure the next game, and they are dropping.
Really?
We were looking at 310, I think it was, or 315 for the very back row of the stadium on Monday. That is all the way down to 250.
Ooh.
So you can get nosebleeds where you have a view of the parking lot and the field for $250. Huh. Still, if you want to be lower bowl, you're looking in the $700 range. If you want to be the front row of the lower bowl, you better cough up about $3,000. But yeah, prices are going down.
Do we have a line on this game?
I think
you said the other day the Chiefs were favored by 1.5 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see.
It should be
the
more.
Chiefs are favored slightly, yes.
Okay.
Wait. A story here from, what is the city? Montgomery County. I don't know where that is.
Oh, look.
It doesn't say what state it's in. Anyway. Three people have been charged with forging Jason Kelce memorabilia, the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office said on Wednesday. Jason, not Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Officials say 51-year-old Robert Capone, 43-year-old Leanne Branco, and 43-year-old Joseph Parenti were each charged with forgery, theft, deceptive business practices, and other offenses for forging Kelce-signed memorabilia.
Pennsylvania.
I think it's Philly.
Valued at $200,000. The fake memorabilia included signed jerseys, helmets, mini helmets, hats, photos, footballs, and other items. In total, the DA's office said they had 1,138 fake items.
Okay. This is how this happens in this case. And then there's a wider topic here. How do you know when you are bidding on something that what you are bidding on is actually authentic? And during the break, Scott said, because it comes with a letter of authenticity.
Correct.
And I said, yeah, that you can forge.
Which, by the way, in the sports memorabilia world is about as it's worth the paper that it's
right.
written on. That's it.
How do you know it's authenticated correctly?
Yeah.
So listen to this. A Philadelphia Eagles fan paid $200 to have his helmet signed by Jason Kelce last year. Another man who runs a nonprofit that does silent auctions for charities paid $4,700 for 40 autographed items, including a helmet and a Kelce jersey, okay?
Okay.
Montgomery County authorities now say the signature on those items plus more than 1,000 others are fake. The beloved All-Pro Center did not sign a single one of them.
How do they know that?
Well, first of all, they know what memorabilia was signed by Jason. Typically, in these situations, it is a very fixed, very regulated thing. Jason's going to sit down. He's going to sign 750 items, 4 helmets, 9 jerseys,
unless
150
you
posters.
Bum rush him in a parking lot the way that one fan did. There's stuff floating out there that they have signed.
In my basement, in frames, I have a signed jersey from Whit Merrifield that we got at a silent auction for charity. I have a signed Abaji jersey when he was at KU, which has also, like the Merrifield jersey, a certificate of authenticity. And I have also framed a Johnny Russell jersey. I know that one's legit because you, Carrington, and Rob got it for me. And Carrington was there when Johnny Russell signed it.
And for the other two, those came directly from those sports teams. So it's pretty safe to assume that they actually sat that player down.
But I don't know that, Sam. I don't know that it came from KU and from the Royals.
Authorities were tipped off to this alleged fraud by TCH Humphreys LLC, a sports memorabilia company in Royersford that had contacted the authorities because they have a contract with Kelsey to do official signings of memorabilia. So in this case, It seems the industry self-regulated itself, and a competitor said, there's no way the stuff they're selling is real because we have the contract with him to sign the stuff.
So they pay athletes to sign a certain number of items?
Yes, and then you can say we are the official.
And he didn't sign any mini helmets.
Yeah.
He didn't sign any footballs in the last year. This is not real. That I did not know.
Investigators found that two of the men who are charged conspired with the third man to use the third man's credentials as an authenticator for Beckett Authentication Services. So what they're alleged to have done is, like, let's say you and Sam are in the business of selling stuff and I'm an authenticator, kind of like a notary,
right,
where you have to have a license and a seal. You come to me and you're like, look, if we kick you $100 under the table per item, will you authenticate this stuff? We're pretty sure it's Jason Kelce. Like that kind of thing. Huh. That's what they're all accused of doing. So they had someone sign it and say, yep, this is authentic. The allegation is he should not have been green lighting the merchandise.
Well, and you were talking about rushing somebody in the parking lot to get a signature from the text line. I had Clyde Edwards-Alaire sign a jersey at the parade last year. How do I prove it's real? You don't.
You don't.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Bill in Overland Park. Bill, hello.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
So, the day Patrick Mahomes signed with the Chiefs, he was at the T-Boats game, and I got him to sign in baseball for me, and I got a picture of him signing it.
Oh, cool.
And a month after that, his dad was there, and I got his signature in a photo.
A photo of his dad signing it, too?
Signing a different baseball for me.
Right. I would keep that in a vault, Bill.
It just mixed in with all the foul balls I got from the T-Bones games.
Right on. All right, Bill.
In this case, too, Jason Kelce himself gave authorities a statement, said he never conducted any separate contracted signings on June 11th, also said he never met with the men who are charged.
And I've watched shows like this. They're similar to Pawn Stars, where it's just a guy who deals in sports memorabilia. Mm-hmm. If Bill took that baseball to the guy on the show that I'm talking about, his first question would be, prove to me that's the same baseball.
Yeah.
And Bill can't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great
prove
point.
To me that you didn't keep the baseball, sell it already, and you just signed
forged
another
it.
One.
Yeah.
So how is this regulated? And I think the answer is it can be the Wild West. It's sort of buyer beware. That you just have to have faith in the person selling it that
I have no proof that Whit Merrifield or Abaji signed those jerseys. I have no proof. I do know that Johnny Russell signed that jersey because Carrington was there.
I have a seat signed by Patrick Mahomes that says 15 and up.
No. It says 15 MVP.
And up.
How do you know it's authentic?
But again, though, that was
it
one
came
that was
with a certificate of authentication. Here's what I know about the Chiefs seats that were signed when they took all the seats out at Arrowhead. They kept the 15s. They kept seat number 87s. I mean, how many seat 87s are there in Arrowhead?
Well, probably none.
Yeah, there aren't any 87s. There's a lot of 15s, though.
So they took the lower whatever numbers, however many were not damaged, and at some point had them signed. It was brilliant.
Keep in mind, they were throwing those seats off the top of the stadium.
Do I know that this wasn't someone who found a different seat? Do I really know? No. But
that seat came directly from the Chiefs organization. That's how you know it's legit.
It did. I mean, I think.
Well, but they also sold some of those seats that were not signed.
Remember, people freaked out and said, don't throw them off the balcony. Well,
they're worth something.
Well, not even that. They would be worth something to fans. I don't know that monetarily they were worth much.
No, but that's what I mean. They're worth something to the fans.
I would like to have one in my house or whatever.
Right. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome. 913-586-7798. We're talking about this story out of Pennsylvania where three people have been charged with forging Jason Kelce memorabilia. In fact, they had 1,138 pieces of fake items. They included Jason Kelce signed helmets, jerseys, mini helmets, hats, photos, footballs, and other items. Three people.
And what did you say they sold those items for?
Well, I don't know how much they sold them for.
It was $200,000 overall.
Yeah, the value was $200,000.
So they weren't selling these for extreme dollar amounts.
Well, it depends on how many items there were.
Yeah, it's not known that they sold all 1,138 items. But they sold a number of items, clearly, that were valued at $200,000 if they were real.
The text line is blowing up, and they are correct. Companies like Beckett have signature authenticators. So these are experts who sit down with, 700 examples of Patrick Mahomes' signature, and they will tell you whether or not they believe, to the best of their knowledge, that that signature is legit. But that certificate of authenticity comes with a massive disclaimer. We cannot guarantee that this was actually signed by...
Right. And keep in mind, in this case, the way I read it, an actual authenticator...
Say that again?
You know what I mean? Is alleged to have been part of the conspiracy.
Correct.
Where someone who actually has the credentials to authenticate was doing so with the memorabilia that was not
part of the scheme.
Accurate. And my question to the texters who are saying, places like Beckett have, really good men and women with eyeballs who understand this stuff. We just started the show talking about AI. You want me to believe in this day and age where we can fake almost anything, including voices and faces, that you can't fake a signature that would fool a human authenticator person?
Well, now they would catch if it was printed immediately.
Oh, sure.
Because printed. They look at it with a magnifying glass and they can see the strokes.
Whether it's a real Sharpie or a printer.
Well, you can see where the ink crosses over the other ink if you zoom in far enough.
Right on. See, a lot of the autographs that I have, most people wouldn't care about.
Yeah. Mine.
But I have a lot of Thin Lizzy autograph stuff.
Robin Roberts, please.
I do have Robin Roberts autograph.
We all care about that.
Lynn Swan. A handful of people would care about that. Phil Lynott's mom signed a book that she wrote. I mean, nobody cares about that stuff except me. To me, it's invaluable. To you, it has no value. 913-586-7798. Janelle in Kansas City. Janelle, hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Well, good. I was just going to chime in. We are fortunate enough to have front row seats right behind the defensive KC bench.
Uh-huh.
And my son gets stuck all the time. And I thought my husband videoed, them signing it or... he even has, I think the coolest thing he ever got was Patrick Mahomes' arm sleeve he wears.
Wow.
So we probably have to start taking video. It's just that, not that we're looking to, sell it or anything,
sure.
But if we ever did.
I would never sell my stuff because you know what I'm going to do with it? It hangs on my wall, and then someday my sons or my daughters are going to go, we want that, don't sell it.
But Janelle, how
exactly.
can... But if you go to sell it, how do you prove... That sleeve that you're selling is really from Patrick Mahomes and not something you bought at Dick's Sporting Goods.
That is true. So I guess hold on. If you are fortunate enough to get the memorabilia, maybe just hang on to it so you have it.
Right.
Maybe put it in a shadow box, or, you know, like we frame the jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
So just for personal use, you know, instead of trying to sell it.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Well, and that's kind of the point that I was getting at earlier with the value that they were selling these items for. You can sell something that's signed for $1,000 easily. It's when you're trying to get $20,000 out of it that then they are really going to be digging into that authentication, and they're going to poke holes every step of the way.
Now, there are some things that don't need to be authenticated. For example, that very rare Pittsburgh Pirates baseball card that everybody talks about that was sold in cigarette packs.
Yeah.
Back in the 1920s or 30s, whenever it was, and I can't remember the player's name, but anybody would be able to tell if this is a real one of those cards, and there's only, I think, five still in circulation, or if it's a fake.
And when it comes to older memorabilia, I watch way too much Pawn Stars. It also comes to the type of paper, the type of ink. They can tell all of that stuff.
The Oscar nominations are out.
Saw that. There's some snubs.
Yes, there are. Gladiator 2 did not get a single major nomination.
I loved that
Sharks
movie.
In the Colosseum didn't get them all the nominations?
No. Best Picture, Anora, never heard of it. The Brutalist, never heard of it. A Complete Unknown, that is the Bob Dylan biopic. Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. Best Actress, Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, Carla Gascon for Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore is back, and Fernando Torres. Best Actor, Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice.
I can't help but notice how many of these movies that I don't think anybody's seen.
I've never heard of some of these.
I have, dare I say, a new Run, Do Not Walk. We started it last
already?
Night.
Already?
After I read, I think it was the New York Times that said, you know, the new good stuff on streaming to check out.
Okay.
And we were scrolling around and I go, you know, I heard that this isn't supposed to be too bad. It is a thriller. There's six or seven episodes. You know, I love thrillers. About mathematics.
Well, I can't wait to get home.
Now, follow me here. Remember how good A Beautiful Mind was?
Yes.
With Russell Crowe, speaking of Gladiator. It's sort of like that, where these graduate math whizzes at Cambridge, where this is set, one of them starts working on a postdoctorate, you know, project regarding prime numbers. And whatever it is he comes up with is very bad with respect to the end of the world and what it could mean if this theory got out. It has something to do with prime numbers and, you know, just go with it. Because some shadowy, like, government agency starts spying on them at Cambridge, hoping that they don't crack the code. Because if they do, it would basically mean no banks were safe, no passwords are safe, no, like, for everybody.
I've seen ads for that.
It would be the end of civilization as we know it.
So prime numbers are numbers that cannot be divided. Is that correct?
By anything but themselves in one. Yes.
Yeah.
So three.
Two.
Five.
7, 11, 13, 17, 19, 23, 29,
30, and on and on it goes. So I love math, believe it or not, and I really, in the first episode is really good. It starts with a bombing and then...
Apple TV, right?
Apple TV.
We'll have to check it out.
It is called Prime Target.
Prime Target?
Yes.
So we saw ads for that last night. We started Severance Season 2.
Yeah.
Make sure you're in a good headspace.
It's mind-blowing.
When you start Severance Season 2.
It's hard to describe what Severance is about, but consider in your own world every single day, if your work life and your home life were completely segregated from one another so that your work self does not know what home self is like and home self does not know what work self is like.
Yeah, pretty good description.
Like, Scott, when you walked into the radio station...
Forgot everything about Scott Parks outside of the radio station.
It's really creepy.
But in the
then
radio
I'd have
station,
nothing to talk about.
Correct.
In the radio station, your name would just be Scott P. You don't even get to know your last name.
And then you go home and work is left.
And then
it's really creepy.
It is a wild concept. And
are we talking about prime target or Severance?
This is Severance.
That's Severance.
Okay. Yeah.
I started it and I'm like, this is high level creepy.
I love it. Messes with your mind.
I would love it actually if I could leave here and forget about what goes on in the air for 4 hours.
Wow.
I would sleep a lot better. I'm just saying.
What
I wouldn't
are you talking
worry about
the,
you know, the fun stuff I would miss, but I also wouldn't worry about like the wildfires and the like all of the other stuff that we clog our heads with.
Okay. Because I almost took that as an insult.
No, I just think, wouldn't we all be a little bit healthier if you weren't like constantly knowing everything? Like, how many times does someone say to you, Scott, did you hear about? And the answer always is yes.
Yeah. So I was watching Morning Joe today and they had on a psychologist and he says he walked this 500 kilometer or 500 mile trail in northern Spain, and you're supposed to walk it, and it's so boring that you almost have premonitions coming to you. And he decided
to drop some acid before he went on this walk.
I don't know, maybe some peyote. I don't know. And it came to him on this 500 whatever kilometer or mile trail that he needed. He was young. He was in his 20s to go back to college, get a degree in psychology and human behavior, and teach love and tolerance and acceptance and all this other stuff. And the panel on Morning Joe was, what do you recommend? How do we get to where you are? And he said, I hate to say this on your show, you have to turn off the news.
100%.
Now, that's not to say be ignorant of what's going on in the world. You have to watch some news or read some news, but people like, and I took this to heart because I watch way too much news before I come in. He goes, people who spend too much time watching news are damaging their mental health.
You have a very skewed view of what the world is like, and mm-hmm. it's easy to forget there are good people. There's goodness out
sure.
there because bad news and bad headlines tend to be the drivers of content. In fact, and you know how much I love the Kansas City Star, I'm going to be honest, when you pull up that webpage now, it is dad leaves son who freezes to death, mom kills husband, dog left to die. It's all of that. And then you get woman opens Powerball and has the surprise of her life. It's Powerball, death, 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 death.
Fire, fire, fire.
Powerball,
yeah.
Death, 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 death.
So today I did watch a little bit of news, and then I watched SportsCenter.
Oh, yeah.
Friends.
Good.
And one other show I can't remember.
I'm telling you, I stopped scrolling completely. It's been the best decision I've ever made. I'm going on a month now.
Good for you, buddy.
I actually scrolled for about 30 seconds last night, and I caught myself and was like, what are you doing? You're relapsing, man.
You can also...
You're relapsing.
You can also follow CNN's Good News. I send those stories to you guys all the time, where they round up the 10 best stories of the week, and it's always like this heartwarming, crazy, you know, like cat journeys 10,000 miles and finds its way home, like right. stuff like that. Follow that stuff, too, as a palate cleanser. For your mental health.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. I'll try not to butcher this word here in a minute. A New York esthetician.
A nurse?
No, esthetician.
A nurse-thetician.
But he did have a nurse with him.
A nurse anesthetist?
Yeah. Was arrested this week for allegedly buying counterfeit Botox from China and injecting it into patients without the required license, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Joey Luther, 54, charged with wire fraud, smuggling, and other crimes related to the purchase and import of misbranded and counterfeit drugs at his medical spa, JGL Aesthetics. Located in Hell's Kitchen. None of the Botox was approved by the FDA. Uh-huh. He allegedly continued to purchase and inject the counterfeit Botox despite knowing clients had fallen ill or experienced strange symptoms.
All right, listen to this, Scott. A 45-year-old social media influencer person is dead after he went under anesthesia for a tattoo procedure. I didn't know you could do that or anyone does that.
What were they tattooing?
Well, his back, 45-year-old Ricardo Goiti, it looks like.
He had to be put under?
From Brazil. He was under anesthesia for a tattoo procedure when he died. He reportedly enlisted a local tattoo studio to complete a new piece of art on his back, according to multiple outlets. He allegedly went into cardiac arrest on the operating table. Investigation is ongoing.
Operating table or tattoo table?
It says operating table. Now, this tattoo studio owner is quoted as saying, what happened was that at the beginning of the sedation and intubation process, he went into cardiac arrest. That occurred before they even started tattooing him. Huh. He was quickly checked, and a cardiologist was, quote, called in to try to revive him, unfortunately without success.
Do they have a nurse anesthetist?
He was scheduled to get the tattoo while under general anesthesia, sedation, and intubation. I have so many questions. They say to do this, we hired a private hospital with all the staff, equipment, and anesthetic drugs necessary for the safety of the procedure. Would a hospital allow you to come in to use their equipment for a tattoo?
In Brazil, yeah.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want in that hospital room for the right amount of money.
You would have to contract out a hospital.
It is a private hospital.
And Scott, if they had a nurse anesthetist, they probably wouldn't have died because they would have gotten the right amount.
But you know, every once in a while, there's someone who just has a bad reaction to anesthesia. That's why they ask you 100 questions when you go in.
Well, and that's why they have a licensed nurse anesthetist on site.
Never going to live that one down.
No, you won't.
Is tattooing under anesthesia a thing here? I feel like the hospitals would be like, no.
That sounds like a massive liability concern, and I'm going to go ahead and say it's not a thing.
But what is different about a tattoo that, in respect to the elective nature of that procedure, that's any different than any other elective procedure?
It's not a medical procedure.
It's not medically necessary, but I can name 100 other surgeries that aren't medically necessary, injections.
Boob jobs.
Augmentations.
I get it, but in those cases, they're actually going into your body.
They're sort of going into your body.
No, they're not. Any more than Botox goes into your body. I mean, they're not sawing you open to augment it.
This had to be an insane piece he was wanting on his back.
News coming up in just a moment on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.